We give you glory, Lord.
There is who you are.
Thank you and thank you, Lord.
There is who you are.
Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I can't even hear you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can take your seat. Amen. 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 Well, hope you've been blessed so far. Right? You've been blessed so far. Well, there is more. Hallelujah. There is more. We're going to bring up pastor to minister to us. Mr. Elvis will minister to us. And then pastor will come back again to round it up. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Before that, I want to celebrate some very special people in here today. I can see so many people that came from my church, the Ambassador's Church. So, but I don't even know the name of some people. Help me celebrate those two aunties at the back. Thank you so much for coming. We love you. Hallelujah. There is this evangelist. Where is he now? Where is he? Okay. Help me celebrate my friend, Evangelist Ima. Please celebrate him. The only evangel in the whole wide world. Look, look. We have apostles, we have bishops, we have all of that. But we have only one evangel in the whole world. And that is Evangelist Ima. Hallelujah. Good to see you. And just sitting by him is Auntie Ijoma. Can you celebrate her for me? Amen. And Pastor Azubike is here. Our daddy. Can you celebrate him? Celebrate him. Celebrate him. Look at that lady from Biaji Church. Good to see you. Amen. And then I can see Minister Livingstone seated just there gently. Celebrate him. He's the senior prophet of WoQuest. Good to see you, man of God. Celebrate my brother, Pastor Ike Naokoye. You've jammed your hands together very well. Amen. I'm trying to capture everybody's face so that... Yes, Pastor Debbie. Celebrate Pastor Debbie. Amen. Celebrate with for me, Prophet Julius. Prophet Julius is in the house. See, you're not even celebrating Grace. You're just clapping as if your hand is paining you. Amen. Amen. And my own friend all the way from Gwagwalada, can you celebrate Minister Vessel for me? Celebrate her. She'll be ministering in our program next week at Gwagwalada. And then she came in for this meeting. Amen. Well, our two guest ministers are right here. Minister Elvis, who is here to minister to us. Can you celebrate him? You'll be blessed when he comes up. I tell you the truth. You'll be blessed. Amen. Let's celebrate Minister Chigozie. Awesome, awesome ministration from him. Hallelujah. And then I'll leave the remaining one. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Please let the scriptures come up fast so that we can save time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. You know it from verse 16. Since I heard of your faith, from verse 15 rather. I heard of your faith in Christ and your love towards the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, always making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. What is the prayer? That the God of our Lord, this meeting you must open your Bible. If the screen is not coming up fast, please turn over to your Bible. If you have soft copy, hard copy. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. So after you get born again, this is the next thing that must happen to you. Amen. Then verse 18. The eyes of your understanding, please follow the progression. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. After you get saved, there are certain things you must be acquainted with. There are certain things you must know. Amen. And Paul mentions these things in order. Do you understand? I believe that this was listed or mentioned in their order of importance. This is how you should know them. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. When you get born again after you are saved, you must know the hope of this calling. You must know the hope to which he has called us. Many a times we have emphasized what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have emphasized the exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. I have emphasized that, but a lot of people don't know the hope to which he has called us. This is not popularly taught in our churches. Many pastors don't want to go. Many pastors don't even know this. And then even those who know it don't want to go that way. Amen. There is a hope to which we have been called. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is what? A hope. He says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. There is a hope to which we have been called. So, this meeting, we called for this. Can you celebrate Yada for me? I already asked of you. Celebrate her very well. Good to see you. There's Gwembe Mercy. I can see you there. Good to see you. It's been a while. Amen. Can you celebrate Blessing Etim? She came all the way from Bida Polytechnic for this meeting. Celebrate her. And lest I forget, celebrate all the workforce members of Dominion Mandate Network. All of them, wonderful people, working so hard, giving tirelessly to make sure these meetings hold. You're not celebrating them. Victor, Mercy, Paul, Blessing, all of them. I can't even remember everybody now. So, but you are celebrated. Hallelujah. So, you must know the hope of your calling, or the hope to which he has called us. That's the reason why we called for this meeting. So that we can consider the hope of this calling. What is the hope of our calling? Why are you born again? Amen. Why are you born again? What is the essence of the salvation that we have received in Christ? I was preaching somewhere this morning and I told them, Jesus Christ did not die so that you can be rich. Because if that is so, Dangote is rich, but he's not saved. Bill Gates is rich, but he's not saved. Mark Zuckerberg is rich, but he's not saved. If an unbeliever can obtain the same thing for which Christ died, then Christ died in vain. Amen? Do you understand that? If an unbeliever can obtain this thing without having believed in what Christ did, then the death of Christ was for nothing. If I can actually get this thing without believing in him, why do I have to believe in him? Amen? Amen? Just like Jesus Christ did not die to modify your character. He didn't die so that you can stop all the bad things you are doing. Amen. Because an unbeliever can do that. There are unbelievers who are moralists. Amen. Yes. They have good character. They keep to time. They don't take bribe. They don't humanize. They don't smoke. They don't drink. Strict to the core. No, if they are upright. If you look at them, you can say, this person is upright. But he's not born again. If I can obtain it without believing in Christ, why do I have to believe in him? Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? If I can get this thing without coming to church, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, is there, this thing is sounding somehow, Sha. If it can be adjusted before pastor comes up, it will be good because of the recording. So, if I can get this thing without believing in Christ, without putting my trust in the finished work of Christ, then the death of Christ was in vain. What Christ died for is such a thing that until you believe in what he came to do, you can't have it. Do you understand? So it is not something that anybody anywhere can just have. There is a reason why he died. There is a reason why we are born again. There is a hope of this calling. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. I'm just setting, the ground, because we're about to take off. Amen. But I'm just warming this thing so that I can shoot. Titus 1, in hope of eternal life. Titus 1, verse 2. Somebody should read for me. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world. So, what is the hope now? Hello? Are you with me, please? Are you with me, please? I said there is a hope to which you have been called, right? That you may know the hope of his calling. He didn't just call us for nothing. There is a reason he called us. There is a hope of his calling. And we say we must examine it. We must consider that hope. Now we are looking at a scripture and it says, in hope of eternal life. So what is the hope? What is the hope? That's the hope. Eternal life is the hope of our calling. Take note of the word hope. It's important you take note of the word hope, because there's something about that. Hope. Hope. Well, Pastor will do the teaching when he comes. I don't want to say something. I don't want to start talking. Amen. Hope. Mark the word hope. Hope. What that means is that you don't yet have it. Hello? Hello? I know you've been taught that you have eternal life in your recreated human spirit. Eternal life is a superior kind of life, right? You are not responding. Hello? Is that not what you've been taught? Huh? Zoe. Huh? The God kind of life. A superior kind of life that you have in your recreated human spirit. Which makes you live above other people, situations, Satan and all of that. Is that not what we have been taught? But we are going to show you in this meeting that eternal life is a hope. You don't yet have it. It is the hope of our calling. What God gave you is the deposit of eternal life. What God gave to you is the guarantee that you will have it. And the Holy Spirit is that guarantee. So the moment you got saved, God gave you His Spirit as a guarantee that He will give you eternal life. Oh my God. Oh my God. Amen. Are you with me? Are you with me? It is not a superior kind of life. The word eternal life means it's a length of life. Do you understand? It's not the quality of life. It's the length. It's called everlasting life. An endless life. It's not a superior kind of life that you now have in your recreated human spirit. It's an everlasting life. Endless life. The length of life. Amen. 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 We have prayed for you. You will have understanding. So just give me the last scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Amen. Let's just look at that and now bring up our Father to come and show us. Romans 8, verse 23. And not only they, can you read that? Can you stand up and read that? Please follow. It's on the screen. Okay, don't worry. And not only they, please follow, but ourselves. Give us verse 22. Let's see the context. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Go on. Follow. And not only they, so not only the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Say first fruit of the Spirit. Say first fruit of the Spirit. What God gave to you as salvation is the first fruit of the Spirit. He didn't give you eternal life. He gave you the first fruit of the Spirit. This is what we have. We also, which have. We already have this. Eh? One is a hope. One is already a reality. Something you have now. Another one, the other one we're talking about is a hope. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The adoption, the redemption of our body. Philippians 2, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. Don't open. From where we say we look forward for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, He says He will change our vile bodies to be like His glorious body. This adoption is the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24. For we are saved by this hope. NIV says we are saved by this hope. This is the hope of our salvation. This is the hope of His calling. We are saved by this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? How can you hope for what you already have? If you already have eternal life, why will you say the in hope of eternal life? If eternal life is already a reality, if it is a superior kind of life, a life that you already have in your recreated human spirit, why do you yet have to hope for it? We are saved in this hope. And hope that is seen is no more hope. Hello. Hello. I like the way you are calm. It will enter. I like the way you are quiet. People are already saying, what is this one? What are they saying? What are they talking about? So are you now saying I don't have eternal life? I am actually saying you don't have it. You don't have it. When you got born again, God forgave your sins. Gave you the gift of righteousness. Gave you the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee that he will give you eternal life. Eternal life is the promise of God. This is the promise he made to us from the foundation of the world. This is the hope to which we have been called. And we wait. Can you give me the next verse? Oh, Shalah Gabaya. I'm not the one preaching. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we patiently, do we with patience wait for it? What are we doing? With patience, you are waiting for it. We patiently wait for it. It's a promise. There's a time it's going to happen. Do you understand? There's a time we are going to have it. Through the course of this teaching, you will understand that. But we wait for it how? Patiently. So that you don't go about. And by the way, Zue is not the God kind of. Pastor, that is not. Let me. Zoe is not the God kind of life. Zoe. You know the word sounds so powerful. The Greek word for the God kind of life is Zoe. Read your Bible and read it with Greek and Hebrew. The word Zoe is not translated eternal life. It's not translated the God kind of life. Zoe is translated life, lifetime. Lifetime. Lazarus and the rich man, that parable. They say the rich man in his lifetime. That word lifetime is translated Zoe. So are you saying that if that lifetime was a God kind of life? And, no. You don't understand. In James chapter 2 or James chapter 3? He tells you that the life of man is like vapor. The word life there is Zoe. It's like vapor. How can you say the God kind of life is like vapor? When we are talking about eternal life, there's another word added. Aionion Zoe. That is what? Eternal, everlasting life. Zoe is lifetime. Lifetime. Life. Lifetime. Life. It's not the God kind of life. So because some people are zoifying things. Zoifying money. Zoifying this. Zoifying that. Zoification. Zoe that. Zoe this. Zoe is not the God kind of life. Zoe is life. Lifetime. Everybody has Zoe. Everybody. Even the unbeliever out there has Zoe. Life. But only the believer has the promise of eternal Zoe. Eternal life. Hello. Hello. I like the way you are quiet. To enter. So we are here to consider this hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your pastor will not teach it. Some of your pastors don't even know it. Even the ones that know it, they will just shy away from it. It's controversial. Huh? What we are considering this evening is controversial. It's not popular teaching. A lot of people don't even believe this. In fact, I'm telling you now that Zoe is not eternal life. I'm sure you are cursing me in your mind. Because that is what your pastor has been preaching. Am I lying? Hello? Is that not what you've been taught? Is that not the popular teaching? Zoe is what? See, I'm not joking. If you think I'm joking, we can give you the application. You can check it up for yourself. We don't just make statements and talk. These are things that have been proven. Checked. We have checked them. Hello? But somebody is saying to fear. These people are becoming heretic. We knew that the way they were talking since, but now it's becoming clear. Coming clear now, it's no longer suspect, it's obvious. They are heretic. This thing is preaching now, it's heresy. You can go and the Berean Christians, they went back to check if those things were so. Go and check. Amen. So, we'll consider this hope in this meeting. What is the hope to which you have been called? It is in hope of eternal life, the redemption of our bodies. And this hope, we wait for it patiently. Hallelujah. So my Father and the Lord is in the house this evening. My pastor, my father, my mentor, everything you can say is a man who has adjusted my life and my ministry in less than 3 months. I lost all my messages. The first time we met him, we asked them now, my friends, they know, we lost everything we used to preach. We thought we used to preach word, we had word. Before my very eye, all my messages were gone. Everything I believed in, I lost it. My foundation was shaking, and I was built on another more solid foundation. And this in less than 3 months. My life, my ministry has taken a new turn. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. So this evening, he's here to, you know, we read in Acts 8. How shall I understand except a man guide me? He's here to guide us in scriptures. Amen. And bring us to the place of understanding. Hallelujah. So with Jesus' joy, with a standing ovation, join me as I receive the ministry of Pastor Joshua Izubara. You are not celebrating well. Put your hands together.
Hallelujah. It's okay. May I have your seats? Thank you very much. Evangelist Dominion, these are orators. They can talk you out of your seat. Amen. It's okay. So thank you very much. I appreciate the privilege given to me to be here today and to share with us. Appreciate all the people, the workforce of the Dominion Mandate, leadership of the Dominion Mandate, and every one of us that is making sure that things work well here. I appreciate you. Evangelist Dominion, thanks very much. Thanks very much for the privilege. I listen to you, Minister. I appreciate that. And now me too. Amen. Came with many people. Came with Pastor Sumbike, one of our pastors, Prophet Julius. Also, Evangelist Emma, my office help, Sister Choma. At the back there, Auntie Lizzie and Auntie Blessing. And Frank. Where is Frank? Went out. Okay, praise God. Okay. And my son is also somewhere here. Okay, at the back. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have, it's already after 5. You have to time me. I think we can do a session. Somebody will sing. Who did you say we sing after? Good. After that, then we take questions, right? And then wrap it up. Is that all right by us? But you have to be calm. Like he said, we are stirring the harness. What do you call it? The harnessness, right? We are stirring up something that is controversial. But it's controversial in our own generation. It was not controversial in the days of Paul. So you got to open up your heart, put down your questions somewhere, and then you can ask your questions later. Is that all right by us? Father, we trust you for understanding tonight. As we share your word, we trust you to give us understanding. We trust that you grant us illumination of our minds, that our minds will receive light, that our minds will be enlightened, that nobody will go from here today confused. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of error, every seducing spirit. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I command you to go as the word of God comes. Depart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. We ask that your spirit, that by the power of your spirit, you will give us answers and understanding, light into your word tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for always answering, Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. Everybody says a strong amen.
Amen.
All right. Evangelist Dominion has already done a serious work, right? So we take it off from there. Number one, we said that there are three words there. One is eternal life, the other one is immortality, and the other one is everlasting life. Okay? Are you with me? Do you promise that you are going to flow with me? Is this the promise? Is this the promise? Okay. Yeah, well, when I came in here, I felt like 1991, 1992. We used to have this kind of meeting in Jos. We used to bubble. We sing and roll on the ground. And it was intense. So, I'm happy that this kind of thing is coming back to our city. Kubwa. God will walk through you people to touch lives. Many things have actually gone wrong in the church. But through you people, things will be corrected. I'm telling you. Through you, things will be corrected. I felt like in those days, and I just feel like we shouldn't go from here. Yes. I felt young again. Now look at this. Is eternal life the same thing as everlasting life and immortality? It's a question. Is it? Huh? You said it is, eh? Somebody said it is. Yeah, but you're not sure. How many of you believe that eternal life is the same thing as everlasting life and immortality? How many of you believe that? Okay, how many of you don't believe that? How many of you believe that there's a difference between eternal life and everlasting life? How many of you? Okay, I can see that. And I know some people are not serious. You know one thing? People believe things when their pastor is sharing it. But when they come out to the public, they're not sure of what they believe again. We have been taught that there's a difference between eternal life and everlasting life. How many of you have heard that before? Is it not so? Good. But do you know there are no different Greek words for eternal life and everlasting life? The Greek word aionos is translated eternal or everlasting. It depends on the translators. Even King James Version translate that word aionos into eternal life and everlasting life as they choose, because everlasting life and eternal, everlasting rather and eternal are the same. Are you with me? So when you see eternal life, it's the same thing as everlasting life in the Greek. There is no difference at all. That's very important. It's important we understand that. Because we've been told that eternal life is superior life. But everlasting life is the life we live after the resurrection. I'm sure you have heard that before. Okay, so, but according to the Greek, according to the scriptures, they are one and the same thing. Then, immortality. Give me Romans chapter 2, verse 7, quickly. Romans 2, 7. Let's see if we can. But I don't know how many scriptures we can consider. Quickly, Romans 2, 7. Who is there? Okay. Sir, you have to be a master on the art. I didn't say aionos is eternal life. No. I say aionos is eternal. Because I saw something now. Aionos is eternal life. No. It is aionos zoe or zoe aionos that is eternal life. Do you understand? But aionos is eternal or everlasting. Quickly. Romans 2:7. Or we can have a reader. Yes. 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 What does God give to them? God will reward every man according to his works. Eh? To those who by patient continuance in well-doing, when you see somebody that lives consistently. I don't want to use the word righteously. When you see someone living a religious life consistently, he's seeking for something. When you see somebody who is consistent in his belief, in service of God, he's looking for something. So to those people who by what? Patient continuance in well-doing. Seek for what? What again? And what again? What does God give to them? Good. Jesus. You see that eternal life and immortality go together. What are they looking for? What are they looking for? Let's look at, let's just call it immortality, right? What does God give to them? So what does that show us? Shows us that eternal life is equivalent to immortality. When you become immortal, then you live forever. You hear what I said? When you become what? Then you do what? You live forever. Let me show you another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Quickly. 2 Corinthians 5, 4. Do you know, Brema? You could also join them in that corner, eh? Yeah, okay, the system, okay. It's all right. Do you see that now? For we that are in this tabernacle do what? Groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that what? Upon that mortality might be what? Yes, we'll be clothed upon that mortality may be swallowed up of what? That is it. That is, you will enter into immortality when the life of, when life, eternal life, takes over this mortal body of yours. Huh? How will I live eternally? How will I enter into immortality? I will enter into immortality when life takes over this mortal body of mine. And that is what we are groaning for, so to say. The groaning is not that you come up in the morning and says, oh, Jesus, I want to become immortal. Jesus, I want to become immortal. Let this life swallow up my mortality. No, it's not a prayer point. When the time comes, you enter into it. Do you understand? But the Spirit of God in you is busy groaning. As a matter of fact, can you take what I want to say now? Can you take it? Every time you pray in tongues, the Spirit is groaning for immortality. That is what Romans chapter 8 verse 26 is actually talking about, even though you may not understand it now. Jesus. Because it says that the Spirit, we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. We don't know what to pray for as we ought to, right? But what happens? But the Spirit helps our weakness. And he's saying that we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. How does he help us? The Spirit itself does what? Makes intercession for who? With what? Which cannot be what? Uttered. And he that knows the mind of the Spirit does what? The Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to what? He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He that searches the heart knows what is what? The mind of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit makes what? Intercession according to what? The will of God. What is the will of God? Let me get that for us. John chapter 6. Say 26, right? Okay. Can we get John chapter 6, verse 28? Blessed be God. Verse 38, John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What does that mean? Jesus came to do the will of God. What is the will of God? Verse 39, And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the word. You see that now? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Spirit makes intercession for us according to this will of God. The will of God for you is not for you to marry Oyibo. Or for you to marry Dangote and be the 10th wife of Dangote. No, God's will for you is immortality. Come on. God's will for you is for you to live forever. That is God's will for you. Every other thing is inconsequential. Everlasting life, and that in paradise, is the will of God for mankind. Number two, notice that everlasting life or immortality is the promise of God. It's not promises, so standing on the promises of God. It's not about promises of God, though. It's standing on the promises of God. There is only one promise: immortality. Do you understand? God wants you to live forever, not to perish in the lake of fire. He wants you to live forever, but not in this present world. You cannot live everlasting life in this present world system. No! Everlasting life must be lived in paradise. Are you with me? Oh, you're becoming cold. But I know what to do. I've been preaching this thing for many years now. So I can ginger you up. Somebody say, Pastor, what can you do? By the time I climb these people to now, you'll be afraid that I may fall. You will not become again. When I move like this, you'll be shaking. You'll be joining me to preach. So if you don't want me to do that, then give me attention. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. What does it say? And this is his promise: eternal life. 1 John 2:25. If you see that, I thought somebody could help me read that. Yes? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I told you before, there is one promise God has made to us: eternal life. Are they following me? How many things have we covered? Have we seen that eternal life is equivalent to immortality? Have we seen that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, have we shown that eternal life is the promise of God? Can we see that? That is what we are groaning for. And when you pray in the Spirit in you, and by the way, you have only one Spirit. How many spirits? How many spirits do you have as a believer? There is one. By one Spirit have we all been baptized into. And I've been given how many spirits to drink of? Do you have two spirits in you? And do you know that if you don't have Holy Spirit in you, you don't have spirit. Yeah. Jude says so. Jude. Verse what? I can't. But I hope we will not be deviated and. Okay. Let me see. Okay, verse 19. Jude 19. What does it say? These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And there's no they in the Greek. Is it there? Yes, there's no day. This word day is not in the Greek. So if we remove it now, how will you read? Say with me, I have only one Spirit. Say it again.
I have only one Spirit.
He that is joined to the Lord is how many spirits? How many spirits were you given to when you were born again? That is the spirit that you have. That's what Paul said. If I pray in an unknown tongue, what happens? My spirit does what? All this worketh that one and same spirit, distributing to every man severally as he wills. I just touched that because some of you think that you have two spirits in you. One spirit living in the other spirit. Come on. Are you still here? Do you want to take more? You need to know that you were given the spirit when you were born again. And that is the spirit that you have. That is what Paul calls my spirit. You don't have another one. So that spirit is called the spirit of adoption. That spirit is called the first fruit. That spirit is called the guarantee. Are you with me? It's called the spirit of just men made perfect. It's the spirit of his son. And it's your spirit. When you, that spirit is what helps you to pray in the spirit. When you pray in tongues, that spirit is groaning. And is groaning for you to be clothed with immortality, because that is God's will for you. Pastor Dominion have told us now that eternal life is the hope. And because the church does not consider the hope, even the church tells you, can I quote your pastor? Thank you for that permission. A pastor says something. He said, turn your hope into faith. Turn your hope into faith. Faith is now. Faith is now. As long as you keep hoping, you don't have faith. Turn your hope into faith. I don't know if you have heard that before. If you have not heard that, you are not born again. Or let's put it this way. You are practically, you may be in the Catholic Church where they don't talk about those things. But if you belong to the Pentecostal generation and assembly, you must have heard that somewhere. Or you read books. Even when you read the book of people who call themselves apostles of faith, even though there's something like that in the Bible anyway, what we have is apostles to social place. Apostles to social place, not apostles of faith. Can we still talk? Do you understand me, Chicos here? Okay. The Bible talks about, it said, apostle to the Gentiles, apostle to the circumcision. Not apostle of faith. Not apostle of immortality. Jesus, help us. So because somebody now, when somebody calls himself apostle of faith, now he thinks there's an authority in faith. I can talk things, telling you to turn your hope into faith. You don't turn your hope into faith. Now, these three exist. These three exist. They abide. Do you understand? What are they? Faith, what again? And what? And charity. And these three, they exist on their own. You can't turn your faith into hope, brother. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things, don't word, hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. That's what we cannot see. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, that which has not entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love him. Listen to me. If what Jesus died for, like he said now, and by the way, if eternal life is what we can use to enjoy here and now, I don't know anybody who claims to have eternal life and is richer than Dangote in Nigeria. You say eternal life is superior life. It's abundant life. And you have it. And then God is richer than you. If that is eternal life, I'll dash it back to God. Are you with me? If eternal life is superior life, abundant life, and I have it now, yet an unbeliever is living a more abundant life than me. And I define my eternal life in terms of what I have. In terms of material possessions. But what God promised me, he said, is what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not gotten into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love him. If it is not beyond this present age and time, then you of all men most miserable. Get that for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Are we there? I want to ask you a question about that life there. What is it? It cannot come, eh? It has passed up. Finally and at last. It's okay. But you can see your scriptures, right? 1 Corinthians 5, 15, 19. If only in this world. They are not following me. If you're following me, you will have responded. If only in this life you have hope in Christ, you have all my most word. Okay. That life there, what is it? So is that's their own God, their God kind of life, Abby. They are not answering me again. You must answer me today. Oh.
Hallelujah.
I'm asking you because. Thank you. If only in this life, if in this life only, the word life here in Greek is Zoe, which you say is your God kind of life. Now the question is, let's put God kind of life there. That is it now. If this word, if a word means this in logic, you can substitute it with that. Isn't it so? If there are synonyms, you can substitute it with that. It still means the same thing. All right, let's read it together. When we get to life, put God kind of life there. If in this God kind of life, only we have hope in Christ, we of all men the most miserable. Does it work? So what do you conclude about this way there? Huh? Good. I think that one said two seats. Now look at this. If your own eternal life is for you to dominate in this present life, and have good cars, have good houses, and all that, if what God promised you, if what Jesus came to do, is not more about the life to come, if it's about this life now, then we are of all men most world pitiable, miserable. So what Jesus came to do is beyond here. Everlasting life he came to give to us is beyond here. Do you understand me, church? Do you understand me? Please, don't be deceived. What we did is that we changed everything about the Bible into now. We forced all the scriptures to mean what we can eat now, what we can drink now, what we can drive now, to better our lives now. And any scripture that does not fit into that, we push it aside. In fact, we wish it's not in the Bible. You didn't get that. Any scripture, we even call it promises of God. If it does not answer to my life now, then I ask myself, how relevant is it to me? Even we pastors, we say something. We say, brother, live about the coming of Jesus and concentrate about this life now. When that time comes, Jesus will take care of us. For now, let's talk about what we can eat, what we can wear, what we can dress. Do you understand? So please understand, eternal life is not about now. Let me show you some scriptures now. Can I prove to you that eternal life is not about now, but in hereafter? Can I prove that to you? Okay. Mark, maybe 10:30. Let me see. 10:30. Anybody there? Listen, 30. Quickly, somebody help me read. When? What will happen then? Men and brethren, when is eternal life coming? Is eternal life now or in the world to come? Okay. That's one. Number two. Matthew 24. Let me see. Just the last verse there. Matthew 24, last verse. No, 25. Matthew 25, 46. So when is eternal life coming? Is it at the end or now? From that scripture. This shall go away into what? But the righteous into what? They will go into it. They will go into it. You see? Eh? The righteous will go into what? Let me show you another scripture. Romans chapter 6. Verse 22. Romans 6:22. Quickly. Somebody help me to read. The end is what? When is the everlasting love coming? You are no longer answering me. Is it not in your own Bible? Oh, yes, we are just quoting it from our own Bible here. Well, if it's not in your Bible, we can give you our own. When is it coming? And the end, everlasting life. Titus, maybe 3:21. Let me see. Titus. Is it Titus or Jude? Let me see. Okay, Jude. Jude 21. Jude 21. Quickly, Jude 21. Jesus. Did he say you have eternal life now? Huh? What did he say? Keep yourself in what? Looking for what? Looking. There is something we are waiting for. There is something we are looking forward to. Huh? The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto what? So from these scriptures we have read, when is eternal life? At the beginning or at the end of your journey? Do you see that we even enter into it? Huh? By the way, eternal life is equivalent to the kingdom. The Bible. Eternal life is equivalent to the kingdom in the Bible. Before I show you that, let me show you from Daniel chapter Daniel chapter what? Maybe 12, verse 3. Let me see if it's 11 or 12. Quickly. Verse 2. Daniel 12:2. Do you see that? Many of them that do what? Even from the Old Testament scriptures, when is everlasting life coming? I want to see how many of you can see that from scripture. You can see it clearly that everlasting life is at the end. Can you see that clearly? Okay. Now let's look at some other things. I know why and I know what is going on in your mind. 1 John chapter 5. I say unto you, I want you to know, those that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have word, eternal life. Is that not what is going on in your mind? That now you have eternal life. Which verse is that? Which verse is that? 1 John chapter 5. Which verse? See them. You don't even know the verse, but you carry it everywhere. The Bible says, I read that if you believe in the Son of God, you have eternal life. Well, where is it in the Bible? You don't know. And then you expect me to cram the whole Bible in my head because I'm a pastor. Can you get that verse? Where? 9 and 11, right? Okay. And this is a testimony that God has given to us, world. And this life is where? Yesness. He who has the Son has world. He who does not have the Son does not have world life. What is this telling you? You don't pray for eternal life. Eternal life is God's promise to mankind. And the only way to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is what? Through who? Huh? Jesus Christ is the only way to immortality. Only way to eternal life. You don't work to have eternal life. You don't labor to have eternal life. No. Jesus paid the price for us to have eternal life. Anyone who believes in him has eternal life. Not as a functional reality now, but as a settled matter. Do you understand that now? Not that you have a functional eternal life now. No. But it is settled. You don't pray for it. You don't work for it. You don't do anything about it. Eternal life is given to you on the ground that you believe in Jesus who paid for eternal life. Is that clear to us? No. Is it clear? So if you're a believer, you have eternal life. Not as a functional reality, because eternal life is equivalent to immortality. But as a guaranteed promise. You will not miss it. You don't pray. It's not like we used to sing, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God. And I see that some people who want to tell us that they are shifting now to the gospel, that made that their anthem in their church. And you see, they watch them on the television, you see them singing that every little time as they preach a little, they start singing it. When you come to call it your people, remember me, oh Lord. Remember me, oh Lord. When you come to call it your people. You cannot, you will not take us away. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about people like T.B. Joshua. You see them singing, when you come to collect their people, you see them singing, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. That shows you the depth of ignorance in the church. You don't pray for eternal life. You believe in Christ and you have eternal life. And you don't pray for God to save your soul. No. You believe to be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Thou and the household. Simple. It didn't say pray. Listen. How many of you from the apostolic faith? I didn't say apostolic church. Apostolic faith. In case you don't know the name of your church again. In apostolic faith, you don't lead a sinner to Christ outside. In fact, you don't preach to an unbeliever outside. You invite them to church. Because salvation must be done on the altar. And it's amazing. Can I tell the truth here? This place is not called, this is not an altar. This is a podium. Are you still here or you have left me? All those things they call altars. It's amazing. They don't sacrifice on those things. Now we have one altar. One altar. What we have is a podium, not altar. That is Old Testament mentality in the New Testament church. In other words, we have Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. We still have Levites and Levitical priests today in the New Testament church. Even though the Bible says that we are what? Royal priests today. How many of you know you are royal priests? Male and female. How many of you know that? When they started talking to you about altar as in the pulpit being an altar. How many of you know that they're taking us back? It means that the building of your church is the temple. But how many of you know that you are the temple? I don't think we are still here. You are the temple. Don't be deceived. God does not dwell in temples built with hands. It doesn't matter how magnificent, it doesn't matter how fanciful, it doesn't matter how good. Even if you decorate it with gold, it is still a building. God is not there. No building is holy today. No building have altar today. Come on, somebody talk to me. Doesn't matter, it can be 100,000 seater capacity. It is still a building. It's not different from a stadium. And no building, listen. Can I say something here? No building is holier than my toilet. You don't need to go to church to be saved. You can be saved in your toilet. Can even be your toilet while people in it say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You'll be saved there. I said you'll be saved there. I said you'll be saved there. You don't need to stay on any so-called man-made altar. Jesus, the altar we have now is in heaven. Let's leave that and continue. So, in apostolic faith, you have to come to the altar and pray through. No, you don't pray to be saved. You believe to be saved. For with the heart, a man believeth unto what? And then you confess that your salvation with your mouth. That is it. So, faith does not come by fasting and praying. Faith comes by hearing. And what do we hear? What do we hear? What do we hear? I can't hear you, somebody. You don't. If you hear about hellfire, it cannot give you faith. It can only give you fear. When you hear about somebody has just died now and he has gone to hell, and then the pastors are crying about how people are going to hell, your emotions can only be whipped up. You can even join your pastor and start crying. Do you understand? About how people are going to hell. You hear so much about hell. And then you're told, my brother escaped hell. My brother escaped hell. My sister, my brother escaped hell. You even told that, what's the name of this guy, this singer? This king of pop. Michael Jackson. How many of you hear that he's in hell? Brother, hell has not come. Please, let me not cause commotion here. Hell has not come. Nobody is in hellfire now. Not one person. Not one person. Not one person is there. You hear what I said? Michael Jackson is sleeping in the dust, waiting for the resurrection to be judged. So after hearing about Michael Jackson crying in hell, somebody say he saw Michael Jackson in hell crying, then they ask you to come out and receive Jesus. You come out with tears rolling down your eyes. You did not receive Jesus of the Bible. That is even the thing. You go to give your life to Jesus. Come and give your life to Jesus. You gave your rickety, God forsaken, God, goddamn life to Jesus. Which after 2 days, you go back and pick it again. My God! Are you still here? I guess some people are getting angry with me. We are still preaching. Listen to this. Truth of the matter is that faith comes by and hearing the word of God. This word of God is the gospel. This word of God is the gospel. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls off. But the word of God endures forever. Which word was preached to you by the gospel? It's called the word of truth. Ephesians 1:13. Word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. That is what we hear. If that is not what we hear, you don't have saving faith. What you have is religious zeal. Romans chapter 10, Paul said, my heart, desire, and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own, they refuse to submit to the righteousness of God. So you can go about, you can very zealous, talking about hellfire every time, talking about Satan, talking about household enemies, talking about churchianity and churchianism. Talking about everything talkable, but not the gospel. What is the gospel? Number one, we are still talking about immortality. Christ died for our what? Our sins, according to the scriptures. Notice that death was not created by God. Death came by sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us that by one man sin, death came by word. How did death come? I can't hear. How did death come?
By sin.
Read that also in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says that the sting of death is word.
Sin.
Romans chapter 3 verse 23. What does it say? The wages of sin is word. Or chapter 6 verse 23 rather. Wages of sin is word. So how does death come? What is death? Death is absence of life, cessation of life. You cannot say you are dead and you are still living. No. That's another matter. We cannot get into that matter. Some of you believe that somebody is dead and is living somewhere. When you die, the Bible says you return to dust. And then the scripture said, in the dust, there's no knowledge, no understanding. When somebody dies, Jesus said, they're sleeping. Paul said, they're sleeping. See, there's no knowledge, no understanding, no wisdom, no work. In the grave, whither thou goest. Where are we going to when we die? I can't hear you. Where do we go to when we die? Do we go to somewhere else? And there's no knowledge. There's absence of life. The dead know nothing, scripture says. They all came from dust, and to dust they will return. Listen. Death is powerful. But the grave is more powerful. Because if you die, you can be resurrected before you go back to dust. But after you have gone back to dust, you turn to dust again. Can you come back? So, it's only God that can raise the dead. And the Bible tells us that clearly, that the God you serve, while you are a believer, listen to me here, while you are a believer, you serve the God of Abraham. Why? The God of Abraham is the God that raises the dead. Only God can raise the dead. God will allow man to die and go back to dust as he was before and lose consciousness, lose existence completely. But to prove that he's God, it doesn't matter to him how many years you have been in the grave. Doesn't matter. You can be there for thousands of years. That is not his concern. What he knows that is God. Lift up your hand and worship him, somebody. Worship him. Before him whom he believed, even God that raised the dead and called things into existence. Before him whom he believed. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then you are not a believer. What makes you a believer is that you believe in the word, the resurrection of the dead, that God can raise the dead. Thank you, Lord. So this is the hope. That's what we have been called into. Now, Christ died for our sins because what brought death is what? Christ paid for our sins by dying. Number two, he was buried. The grave supposed to hold him bound, like he did to other people. But on the third day, what happened to him? He was raised back to life. He came back to life. It means that the Bible says he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is what? When Jesus died, he paid in full for our sins. When he resurrected, it means that your sin has been settled. You are no longer owing God anything. You don't owe debt anything. The debt that we owed, which is the debt of sin, has been settled by Jesus Christ. Come on, do you understand that now? Christ has brought life and immortality to light. And it is brought to you through the gospel. Jesus had paid for our sins. He who knew no sin had to pay for our sins by dying for us. Christ did not die with our sins. He did not die in our sins. He died for our sins. You hear what I said? And in that he died once, not twice. And he died in the flesh. He was put to death in the flesh, not in the spirit. I don't know what I'm talking to somebody here. Only few of you can understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You have been told that Jesus died twice. He died spiritually and then physically. But where did you see the word spiritual death in the Bible? Where did you see the word born again spirit in the Bible? Where did you say again, recreated human spirit in the Bible? You are asking us now. You are looking at me as if I'm not asking you. Is it there? Is it there? He was put to death in the flesh. In that he died. He died once unto sin. Not twice unto sin. So Jesus has paid for our sins. Say with me, I believe. I can't hear some of you say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he was buried. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I confess that Jesus is Lord. Therefore, my sins have been washed away. Notice this now. Notice this now. When Jesus rose from the dead, he rose for your justification to prove to you that your sins have been settled. It's a settled matter. You don't owe nobody nothing again. You are not owing God. Jesus had paid the debt we are owing. And he shouted on the tree, it is finished. The debt of sin has been paid for in full. God lay on him your sins. Huh? Do you understand that? Who himself bore our sins where? I thought he bore it on his spirit. Where did he bear it? Who himself bore our sins where? Sister, are you hearing me? Are you sure you're with me? Or you're angry? Okay. Where did he bear our sins? Now, but somebody give me one scripture where it says that Jesus bore our sins on his spirit. Can you give me? So your hands going up. Why is everywhere quiet? Naomi, can't you give me just one scripture? Where he said that Jesus bore our sins on his spirit. He said himself bore our sins. Where? On his body, on the tree. So the sin issue has been. The Bible said that Jesus purged our sins before he sat down. He purged our sins. The sin issue has been settled. Don't let anybody deceive you. By one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who have been sanctified. It is that which is settled. Number two. Today, if you believe in Jesus, what does God give to you? What happens to you when you believe? I will show you now. But I'll quote scriptures. We cannot be fast enough. Because Jesus has paid for your sins, if you believe in him, number one, your sins are forgiven you. Your spirit is not recreated when you believe. What the Bible says is that your sins are forgiven you. But if you say your spirit is recreated, give me one verse that says so. I will give you 10, 15. Give me just one that says that when you believe, your spirit is recreated. One. Man of God, do you have one? But I was thinking that you have one. Can I give you scriptures now? Luke 24:46. What does it say? It says that yes. This is what is written. To suffer, yes. To rise from the dead, the third day, yes. Yes. What did he say we should preach in his name? And what? And what? How many times have you heard that in your church? Can I tell you what we have been hearing? Seven sins that will take you to hell. The unpardonable sin. The sin unto death. Huh? Flee from these sins. You are not told that in Christ you have forgiveness of sins. We are going to immortality. I'm showing you how it happened. So when you believe, and what Jesus told us to preach is that he has paid for our sins, that Christ should suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name throughout all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So Christ has paid for our sins. God has raised him from the dead, showing that our sin debt has been settled. If you believe in him now, your sins are what? Forgiven. Acts chapter 2 verse 13, what does it say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? Forgiveness of what? And you shall receive what? The gift of what? Holy Spirit. Let me jump. Acts chapter 10 verse 43, what does it say? Through this, it said, to him give all the prophets witness that whosoever believes in him receives what? Forgiveness of what? That is Acts chapter 10 verse 43. Acts chapter 13 verse 38, what does it say? Through this man is preached unto you what? Forgiveness of sins. Through this man is preached unto you what? What we are telling you is that Jesus has paid for your sins. This is the gospel. When you believe in him, your sins are forgiven you. Sins in its entirety. Sins, whatever is called sin, is forgiving you. You no longer a sinner when you believe in Jesus. God forgives you all your sins, and you stand before him as if you never sinned. That is the gospel. Anything short of that is not the gospel. Huh? Then Ephesians 1 verse 7, what does it say? In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. What again? Forgiveness of what? Sins. Say in him. Say with me, in him. I have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 4:32, what does it say? That even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians 1:14, what does it say? Colossians 2:13, what does it say? Colossians 3:13, what does it say? All this place is telling you that you have been forgiven already. You have been forgiven already. You have been forgiven already. Then, if 1 John chapter 2 verse 12, what does it tell us? I write unto you little children. Why? Because your sins have been what? Can you see that? We can read that one. Simple. Whosoever believes in him receives what? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Your sins have been forgiven you. Come on. Can somebody give him thanks and say, thank you for forgiving my sins? Come on. You don't appreciate that. You don't pray for your sins to be forgiven. It's already done. And when was it done? When you believed. Right? Number three, the moment you believe, your sins are forgiven you, that means you stand before God as if you never sinned. And God says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Huh? That means you are not righteous. You are not what? Righteous. I can't hear you. You are not what? Righteous. What are you in Christ? The righteousness of God. How did you become righteous? Through forgiveness of what? When you believe unto righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. When the moment you believe, your sins are forgiven you. You don't have sin again in your record. Not at all. You stand before God as if you never sinned. That makes you righteous. What does God do immediately? Ephesians 1:13, quickly. Time, right? Yes. I want to title for that now.
Quickly, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
The moment you believe your sins are forgiven you, what does God do for you? Seals you with the Holy Spirit. What is this Holy Spirit for? Number one, it is a seal showing that you have become righteous by faith. Huh? Number two, it is a guarantee that you will live forever. When are you giving Holy Spirit? I can't hear them now. From where you read now, Ephesians 1:13, when were you giving Holy Spirit? When you believe, you were sealed with what? Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is connected to the promise of eternal life. Connected. Connected. I'll show you now. That place where you read verse 14, what does it say? Get me another version. Another version. You know that simpler version of verse 14? Quickly. You are born again. You are born again. Just by reading that version now, you are born again. Because an unbeliever couldn't have gotten that version. What does it say? Stop there. God's Spirit is the first part of what? What God will give to us. My God. What you have now is the first part. What you have now is a deposit. You don't have the fullness. You don't have the written now. The Holy Spirit is the deposit. Is the first fruit. Is the first part. The fullness of it is eternal life. Do you understand that now? Huh? That is why, if you had Holy Spirit now, can you give me one scripture that tells you, if you have eternal life now, can you tell me one scripture that tells you how you can benefit from eternal life that you have now? One scripture. That tells you now that you have eternal life, this is how to enjoy it. I said that the pastor wants to check something. If you have, brother, because me, I've been searching, I would have loved to receive it. It's not there. Naomi, do you have one? I thought you should have. That now that you have Holy Spirit, eternal life, this is how to enjoy it. This is how to benefit from it. This is what eternal life you have in you will do for you. But we are told many things that the Spirit of God in us will do for us. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. All this worketh that one and self-same Spirit, distributing to every man severally as he wills. Isn't it so? So what do we have now? And what is it all about? Is the first part. Another person quickly. Uh-huh. From God is the first installment on what is coming. A reminder that we will get everything God has planned for us. A present and a glorious life. Huh? A reminder that we will get everything God has planned for us. What has He planned for us? What is the will of God for us? What is His promise? What are we hoping for? Does it make sense? Now, is it adding up? Is it adding up? Even if it's not adding up in your mind, in the presence of everybody here, you will accept that it's adding up. Okay, finally, one scripture. Then I'll go and sit down. Back to that 2 Corinthians where we read before. But this time around, chapter 5, I think we should start from verse 1 to 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 4. If our earthly house of this tabernacle, that is what Jesus told you, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many. If it was not so, I will have. I go to do what? And when I come, I will do what? Take you to myself, that where I am, I'll be there also. And some of you have been believing God for mansions in heaven. As if angels themselves have mansions. When you have eternal life, you still be living in mansions. You see, our mentality needs to be touched. My God. This is Paul's explanation of what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Huh? Can you get another version? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1. If what? Read it again from verse 1. Our body that will live in hearing it is like what? One day, good. We have a building that God has made for us to live in, yes? No human person made that house. It will always be there in heaven. We know that. Stop there for now. Listen to me. That is what Jesus went to prepare for you. Jesus died that you may live forever. I have come that they may have life. Have it abundantly. Do you understand? So he paid for our sins, which were the cause of death. Sin having been taken away, immortality is now available. And this immortality is going to come to our body. That is what Jesus died for. That all that Jesus came to do, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him that was in heaven. This is the will of him that is in heaven. That everyone that sees me and believes in me, I will raise him up in the last day. He may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Do you understand that now? Now, verse 2, quickly. Be fast, verse 2. In this tent, what are you doing? In this house, what are you doing? In this body, what are you doing? Longing to put on our house in heaven, or from heaven. Continue. When we put it on, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we are being bothered. Not that we should die, but we'll be further clothed. Yes? Good. And then verse 5. Stop there for now. Listen to me. God has prepared your destiny. Our destiny. We have been predestined. What God has prepared us for. What God has in mind for us. Our hope and our future is that we will be clothed with immortality. That's the whole thing you are pursuing. It's not about what to eat, what to drink. It's not about how to become like Bill Gates. It's not about how to become like Zig Ziglar. It's not about how to become this and that. All that God is preparing us for is what? Immortality. That we live forever with Jesus, reigning with him in paradise. Where there will be no sickness, there will be no pain. There will be no lack, there will be no hunger. There will be no death forever and ever and ever and ever. There will be no competition. You will not be looking for what to wear. You will not be trying to make your hair every Saturday evening so that you appear somehow in the church. Always covering this bottle, painting it every time. At least so they can look somehow nice. Whereas the inward man, what does he say? As word, he that has prepared us for this very thing is word, and he has given us the Spirit as word. What is the Spirit for? Guarantee of word. Is it clear to us? Is it clear to us? Stand to your feet, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. I will hand over to him, but I believe we have cleared one part. Is it cleared? All right. I want you to know that your sins have been forgiven you and you have been given Holy Spirit. Can you confess with me? Say, I believe that my sins have been forgiven because I believe that Jesus died for my sins and I believe that God raised him from the dead. So God has forgiven my sins and has given me his Holy Spirit. That guarantees that I will live forever in paradise. I confess that I have a guarantee of eternal life. So I will not perish in the lake of fire. I can never perish in the lake of fire. I will live forever with Jesus in paradise. God bless you.